And this afternoon, stocks are trading in the green, but of course, anything could happen in this final hour of trading. But for now, we are seeing the Dow Jones Industrial Average up more than 200 points, or about 0.6%. The S&P 500 up about 0.3%, and the NASDAQ Composite up about 0.6%. So seeing those technology shares coming back during today's session as well. But diving a little bit deeper into the S&P 500 by sector, we have materials, consumer discretionary, and financials, the outperformers during this afternoon session. Whereas on the flip side, we do have energy, real estate, and communication services lagging in the broader index. But taking a look at a deeper dive at the market action, we want to bring in our first guest of the hour, and that is going to be Jack Manley, JP Morgan Asset Management Global Market Strategist. Jack, thank you so much for joining us. We've seen stocks beginning to shake off some of that volatility that we saw in January. What do you think is going to be the biggest factor that'll determine whether we continue on this upward trajectory or whether we're going to be getting some more volatility in the near term?
Well, I'll tell you, Emily, right now, what people are looking for in markets is earnings. That is the story at the moment, because we know moving through 2022 that earnings are going to come under pressure as margins contract and as the economy slows down. It's why we're concerned about things like rising interest rates. It's why we're concerned about the elevated inflation prints. It's why we're concerned about policy missteps this year. The way that we're going to be able to avoid any of those potential pitfalls is through earnings. So looking at the earnings season as it develops so far, it's been a pretty good one. Looking towards that forward guidance, trying to figure out what this year is going to mean for corporate America. That, I think, is what's going to keep us on the right track when it comes to price performance today, tomorrow, and the rest of this year.
We haven't heard a ton from companies about the Fed policy environment that we are in right now. Do you expect them to continue to lean into how, in some cases, they are needing to still monitor some of the supply chain crunches that they are seeing, or how they're investing further into their business, either in the form of share repurchases or in CapEx? Or do you expect them to just continue to move forward, give investors as best guidance as they possibly can right now, as we're finally in squarely an earnings season where we've gotten guidance at least for most of those companies?
Yeah, Brad, I mean, the problem, right, is that there are just so many moving parts right now, and it's got to be so difficult to be in that C-suite trying to project out where things are going this year, considering the fact that there are so many risks, so much uncertainty. You know, even when it comes to Fed policy, I think there are plenty of opinions about what exactly interest rates are going to do this year. There are clearly plenty of opinions about when supply chain kinks are going to get ironed out. I think that these companies are going to provide as much guidance as they possibly can, given the information that is available at the moment. But I think we as investors paying attention to what's going on in these companies just have to recognize that a lot can change, that anything can happen between now and the end of this quarter, now and the end of the year. It's going to be a difficult time period, I think, for earnings. And yet again, that's why it makes such a compelling case for paying close attention to who can generate sustainable, stable earnings right now.
Well, and to that point, so far in 2022, it seemed like the market has been weighing these ongoing concerns over the Fed tightening against signs that the economy, the consumer, and to your point, corporate earnings are still holding up quite robustly. Now, with that in mind, how confident are you that the Fed is going to be able to engineer this soft landing that it's aiming for without derailing some of these positives for corporate earnings or the economy that we've seen so far?
So I'll tell you, Emily, you know, the way I think about a lot of the recent Fed positioning is that rather than telling us objectively, very obliquely, that it's going to be hyper aggressive this year, Jay Powell and the FOMC have reminded us that they have a whole lot of tools in their tool chest when it comes to dealing with overall macro conditions. They want to raise rates by 50 basis points. They can raise rates by 50 basis points. They want to hike 10 times this year. They can hike 10 times this year. It doesn't mean that they're going to. It just means that it is a possibility. So when I think about where rates are going from here at the moment, I would absolutely say that the Federal Reserve would be able to engineer a soft landing. But the timing of those rate hikes, the magnitude of the change in balance sheet, the magnitude of those rate hikes, those are all things that the Fed is going to have to be very, very careful about as we see how policy evolves really starting in March. If they make a misstep, if they make life too challenging for the consumer, they could very easily throw this economy right back into a recession. And I think they are cognizant of that position, of their power in the space right now, and they're going to act with a whole lot of caution and a whole lot of stability in terms of forward guidance, in terms of signaling, and in terms of actual policy changes.
Additionally, here, when we think about where the U.S. kind of sits within this broader recovery, if you will, because there was so much impact globally from the pandemic on the early onset in 2020 and then even lingering through 2021. And now, even as we're getting more of that transparency to the best of their ability as possible from companies, you know, how are there still lingering global impacts that some of the companies that have relied on their globalization for growth are still having to navigate through?
Well, Brad, I'd say from a global perspective and an interest rate side of things, we have to remember that U.S. interest rates don't operate in a vacuum. We have to take into consideration what's going on with other central banks around the world. We have gotten a lot more hawkish sentiment out of places like the European Central Bank that does indicate that rates are going to move higher globally. But I think we have to recognize that most of these developed market central banks like the ECB, like the BOJ, are going to be behind the Fed when it comes to how much and how much they can do and how frequently they can do it. That suggests to me that we will continue to have an interest rate differential here, which does help to keep a lid on just how high U.S. yields can climb. Now, when it comes to supply chain issues, that is unfortunately a global issue at this point. I mean, certainly the U.S. has its own fair share of problems, particularly on a labor front. There just aren't enough transportation workers. There just aren't enough warehouse workers. But globally speaking, supply chains are very sensitive everywhere. COVID tolerance policies are sensitive everywhere. A shortage of semiconductors means a shortage of a whole host of goods everywhere. And so it's not just going to be us climbing out of this problem. In fact, exactly to your point, Brad, we are, I think, in the midst of maybe the early innings of a global synchronized growth story, a whole big cyclical upswing as the entire world starts to emerge from COVID. So I think something to take into consideration as we look out over the course of this year, it's a lot more than just the U.S. in terms of the opportunity set because of where the whole world is coming from.
Certainly something we're going to be keeping a close eye on. Jack Manley, we appreciate the time here today. JP Morgan Asset Management Global Market Strategist joining us here on Yahoo Finance Live.